Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, good morning, man. What a beautiful morning here on this joking day of Mardi Gras season.
Yeah, it's joking day.
2020.
It's the day for joking downtown, isn't it?
2020. And
I want you to know.
Laissez les bon temps rouler, folks. Yeah. Let the good times roll.
Lazy bon temps truly.
Laissez les bon temps.
Lazy.
Hey, and, I've actually got some family members that have a float and an old truck that sits in their yard all year long, and it's down there right now.
I'll be there. Well, I'm going to tell you what.
For the parade.
You know, I live down there.
I've never made a Joaquin parade yet.
Of course you live down there.
I live down there, and I live in it.
You're the Marquis de Sip.
Now, it's
I like that
Tuesday. Thank God I'm off from all of my jobs on Tuesday. But it starts at my front door Tuesday. The Mammoth Parade starts right there at the corner of Claiborne and Congress.
Hey, do they still not deliver mail downtown on Tuesday?
I don't know about what on Mardi Gras Day.
I think
the post office downtown is closed.
See, I have a post office.
I'm saying.
Yeah, everything's closed downtown.
You can't get to anything.
Yeah, you can't get there if you work down there. But I just live down there.
You can't get there from here.
Sometimes
not on Tuesday.
But anyway, I will guarantee you it is Mardi Gras in downtown Mobile, and I grew up loving Mardi Gras and always have, and I've had my years where I just stay away from it. And like today, here's Joaquin Day, but we're not going to do Joaquin. We're going to go over to Mississippi and spend some hours this afternoon.
Some Mississippi Mardi Gras.
Well, no, we're going to
help keep Mississippi green.
We're going to just go listen to some bands and enjoy some libations.
Oh, and you can get Powerball tickets over there.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's right, because they fund their school systems.
And pave their roads. The first exit in Mississippi, take a left, go to the Exxon station, and you get scratch-offs, Powerball, and Fantasy.
I think we can probably pass several of them today while we're over there.
You're going to Denny's, aren't you? That's a tradition right there.
But Charlie, not only is it Joaquin Day.
Uh-huh.
It's Sunday.
Right.
But it isn't exactly his birthday, but somebody's birthday was yesterday.
Stu's.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Happy birthday. I sent you an email.
What are you, 60?
I have not checked email.
60?
You've been hanging around me
72. Same number that I wore in football.
You don't look 72.
No.
Oh, that was when you were born.
52.
He looks 82.
52.
Only on Sunday 52. Morning.
Yeah.
I have a burning question for you.
What's that?
Is this also the day that Joaquin's widows assemble and collect the black
roses?
That's
really what got the whole Joaquin being a day started, wasn't it? Was the Merry Widows of Joaquin doing
that? And where did they do that? At Church Street Cemetery?
They start there, and then they had the Joaquin progression, a bunch of minstrels, merry men, marched through from Joaquin's house to Callahan's.
The folks at Callahan's.
It'll come to you.
What's there? The musicians, they all start over there at Joaquin's house, and then they march over to Callahan's. And it's quite a procession that they do now.
Yeah.
It's a street march.
Anybody can march.
Like a second line.
Yeah.
If somebody is listening
Jason
to this.
Capps. Is it Jason Capps?
Just show up down
Grayson
there and
Capps.
Carry
Grayson,
a bag of,
yeah, Grayson Capps.
Musicians? Bag of beads and throw them out.
Yeah, Grayson Capps and the gang and they play their instruments and march down the street, and it's a pretty cool thing. A friend of mine, Mark Burkett, he lives right there on the house with the picket fence surrounded across the street from Callahan's. Great place for St. Patty's Day, by the way, if you're friends with him. He always stands out on his porch and he films it, and it looks like a fun event. And I haven't participated in one of those because I didn't know about them until last year.
So anyway. Tourists visiting the area, all they got to do is go where to find the parade?
I don't know what time it starts, but which one are we talking about? Which
Jokane,
parade?
The big Jokane
downtown.
Yeah, just be anywhere downtown.
It's a usual Mardi Gras route. So.
And you had a story, maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but I'm gonna, about somebody having sex in a tree.
Well, that was the dark days. We won't talk about the dark days.
Sex is the German pronunciation of the number six, by the way. They had a number
that
six.
Was the that was the dark days of Jokane.
But it got caught on TV.
One of the news stations filmed it. And then it all went to,
The important thing about this discussion is, what kind of tree was it?
It's the big
was
oak.
It a magnolia?
No, it was a big oak tree Oakley. I mean, in Bevel Square.
Or a yucca plant. Now, that's
newsworthy. See, that's where it used to end up plant, at, though. Back in the dark days of Jokane. It used to end up at Bevel Square.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there was bands playing. Well, it just got out of hand, and then the city pulled the reins in on a little bit, and it got a little more organized and more family-friendly.
Yeah.
And our buddy Tony Sawyer.
Yeah.
Bob's downtown now. Today they're going to be feeding cops today. I saw images on Facebook where they're down there cooking and getting ready to feed
slinging
the cops.
Slinging that hash, so to speak.
My company that I work for, Bay Paper, we made some donations along with a lot of people down there. Pete and Nick made donations, and Matt at Lodi Beer Garden and David Rass, all of them made donations to help feed the cops because, man, we need them guys happy and fat and out there protecting our streets
dancing.
During the market.
They need to be ready to dance.
And what better place to go than the corner of Fat and Happy.
And what great videos. I always see, I know it's got to be hard on these guys and ladies working like they do.
Right.
And it's not only the cops, but the medical people in the fire department. It's great to reach out to them and feed them and let them know they're appreciated. But I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to be working that many hours and
ever.
And it strains them. It's a big strain on them and their family. But anyway, happy birthday, Stu.
Well, thank you. The gift that I woke up to yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk about that on there?
Yeah. Was this bottle of Ardbeg. 10-year-old scotch.
How old?
Single malt scotch that Heather got from our folks at a Cottage Hill Package Store.
Woof-woof.
It is considered one of the finest whiskeys in the world. Here's a quote, Michael. Would you like a quote about whiskey?
I love quotes about whiskey, especially.
Unquestionably, the greatest distillery on earth. If perfection on the palate exists, this is it. That's by Jim Murray in the book, The Complete Book of Whiskey.
Wow.
She
Have you broken the seal
slam,
on it
son,
yet?
And I, we had a full day with the family. Then I had to go to work. And good Lord, and people in Sims was hungry last night.
Good.
That's a good thing.
So how old is the scotch?
It's a 10-year. This is a 10-year scotch.
And
it is 57.1% or 54.2% alcohol by volume. It's like 96 proof.
Wow.
And
that'll warm it up winter eve.
So I got home from a very busy night.
Yeah.
And sitting on the dining room table when I came in was the bottle of scotch. In a rocks glass, just waiting on me.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness, this is a good scotch. Peaty look. And I told her, I said, there's a little charkoal in that.
Oh, really?
And she kind of, which is not an uncommon thing in a good
scotch,
especially in a single malt.
Well, they use it filtering, too.
Right. And this is non-cold filtered, was one of the things they sell.
Oh, really?
Right. And
so it comes, it's been filtered while it's been distilled. While it's still warm.
There you go.
So that's why it's being distilled. It's being filtered. I mean, it's not, I guess, highly unusual because I don't know much about it. But because I'm not a Scotch guy.
But it was.
But every Scotch drinker I know
are
good people.
Yeah. There's that.
There's that.
We're already up against the first break. Folks, you want to get in on the conversation. It's 343-0106. Alt-1. Alt-6, but you don't have to call us if you don't want to. Mm-hmm. Because, Mike, why?
They might be shy.
We're having too much fun without them.
Because we have a text line, don't we?
And whose text line is that?
It is Callahan's Irish Social Club text line. Wow. Same number, 343-ALT-1-ALT-6. You can text us, send us a little message. You know,
and we'll read it out loud.
Or not.
Depending on how happy it is.
And let's not forget our friends at Hall Sausage.
We got to go.
Yeah.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's us. We're the Mike and Stu guys.
Is that us?
Yeah.
Hey,
you're Sip and I'm Stu.
Chew.
Or you're Mike and I'm Chew.
Something like that. Yeah. We never get it right. Hey, we mentioned Tony Sawyer a while ago. He is our good friend who owns Bob's Downtown Diner, and he is also sponsor, or they are also sponsor of the show.
Operation Halls Feeding the Cops.
Feeding the Cops.
Yeah. Yeah. Hall Sausage saw some pictures of their Andouille Biscuit King Cake.
Oh, Lord.
From the King Cake cook off on, you know, like a little tea bit. I wish I could have got a hold of some of that.
Who our friend Patty Clark did very well.
Whooped on everybody.
But hey, yesterday I was having lunch. I always have a big lunch during the week because that's my only meal I eat is lunch between 12 and 3. And I was reading in the local recent Lanyap.
Fine publication.
Yes,
fine
it is.
Local
one
publication.
One of the finer ones in our area.
Locally owned, might I add, and which something. Is an uncommon thing of a newspaper.
And free to the reader.
Free to the reader unless you go
online.
Have it mailed to your house. But it's still a great publication. Rob and Ashley, they've done a phenomenal job. And they got great writers like Kevin and old picker himself, Andy MacDonald.
But, no relation. Well, actually, probably, but about 600 years back.
Okay. But I noticed an interesting article in there. And
do
it
tell.
Like some old blocks from the South went restaurant hopping, it looks like. Of all places, Sims, Alabama.
Sims, Alabama.
Now, every time I
travel
through Sims.
Nursery capital of the world, people.
Yeah, yeah. And every time I always pass through Sims, going to Laurel, Mississippi and back when I was younger.
Laurel,
Andy MacDonald's hometown, my hometown. There's just nothing but peanut boil. You know, you can get boiled peanuts or from the gas stations. But now Sims seems to have changed a good bit.
A little bit. Fastest growing community in Mobile County has been for over a decade, I believe.
Well, I see that you and Andy did a little adventuring up there. Why don't you tell us what you did?
I got a hold of old Andy, good friend. You know, he sat in for me several times when I was in the hospital, getting remade and getting tuned up. And, you know, but trying to tell him, there's some places out here you need to check out. And I got the idea. Well, you know, he lives in Midtown. He may not be by 65 like you. And he works in Stapleton. So we're not on the route. So let's get him to try all of them at once.
But y'all have to be going if he goes back to Laurel.
Right. And
his sister sometime is on the HGTV show Hometown.
Right, exactly. We talked about that. But I decided, you know, I got some places out here he needs to try, but it's not going to be convenient for him to come out like once a week or once a month maybe. So we'll just eat all of them at one time.
Yeah. And it's only not that many.
Yeah, we went to 4 restaurants in 2.5 hours.
Oh.
And that's the way to live, son. We started out at the Hickory Pit, too. He got to meet Brandon, the owner, and future mayor of Sims, more than likely.
Okay.
And it was a fast food joint in 73, I believe. Brandon Van Hook, by the way, is the owner. In 73, and I remember it. It was called the Beefin' Chick. And colloquially in Sims, we refer to it as the Barfin' Choke. And I don't know why, because I seem to remember them having fantastic roast beef sandwiches. We would go up, my parents would go up there for them. It was a little place, you know, you maybe sat, you know, 16 people, 20 people.
Yeah.
A number of years ago, the Beefin' Chick There was one in Sims and one in Citronelle. I believe it was the Pritchett family. I went to school with Kim Pritchett. Her father had been one of the managers of it. And the folks that owned Beef and Chick wanted to fade out. He kind of took over. It kind of evolved and came up with the name Hickory Pit. And the one in Sims, Hickory Pit, too. And, a decade or so ago, Brandon came in and purchased the Sims location from the Pritchetts. And he's just really, he's added on to it. Like a whole half of the restaurant wasn't there when I was a kid.
Wow.
And it's all seating and restrooms. They still got the drive-thru. It's not the kind of place where you want to pull up and order. The drive-thru is intended for calling your order, and you don't have to get out of the car when you get here, which like Dick Russell's. You know, it's not really or Neighbors. Mm-hmm. Know what you want, call it in is the best way to get through. Right, yeah, because they're not a fast food place now. Brandon has a huge menu, barbecue, award-winning barbecue, especially their sauce. He's got giant trophies in there on his sauce. But I wanted Andy to try one thing. You're familiar with Mexican dish chicharrones.
I've heard of.
Pork skins.
Yeah.
Fried pork skins. Cracklins, we would call it. Brandon has his spin, chick-a-ronies, and it's deep-fried chicken skin.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's where Andy and I started, was the chick-a-ronies, and they brought us every possible sauce, which was a sweet heat. There was a teriyaki. There was the barbecue or sawmill gravy, which was really good. That would make it a good breakfast thing. There's some fried chicken skin, some sawmill gravy. Grandma would be happy. So we got fat and happy there, like our friend Tony likes to say. Mm-hmm. Then I said, okay, let's go eat healthy now. So we go to Sabai, we get some Thai food, and we went crazy there. I can't say the name of the dish. It's very exotic looking, and it translates into shrimp and noodles. But it's glass noodles, it's baked, it's a delicious dish. We tried a crawfish dynamite, which is basically a dip of crawfish and a spicy mayo, and really good. Mm-hmm. And then they had, she knows me there, she loves Heather and I, we always get free grub off of them. Just when she's trying things, she knows I'm a chef and do the show, so she wants to try things. They're doing these bananas, Michael, for dessert. It's not on the menu yet, secret, secret. They wrap the bananas in like a spring roll wrapper and deep fry it. And then it's got some whipped cream and some chocolate syrup. Then we go hop across the street.
Is that kind of like a version of a Bananas Foster, maybe?
No, nothing's set on fire. This is just, hey, we had some bananas, we had some wonton wrappers. Let's see what happens.
Oh, okay.
And it was very good. Then we hop across Moffett Road, you might call it Highway 98, to Sakura, which is a sushi and teppanyaki grill. Most Americans say hibachi, but it's actually called teppanyaki, where they choppity-choppity-choppity there and flip the things in the air. There was one thing I wanted him to try there, and that's the beef spring rolls with ground beef and cream cheese and a few vegetables, and it's like a cheeseburger in spring roll form. And we'll get to call in just a second. I see Tony and David on the line, so we need to get to them. And then we ended our trip at Sim's House of Pizza, which he had been to before on his way to Laurel, like you spoke of. We got in there, and I let him try one of those 28-inch slices.
That's huge.
It's from a 28-inch pizza. It's not the slice is 28.
Right.
The slice is only 14 inches from top to bottom. Yeah, it's what Sim's House of Pizza kind of does instead of a personal pan pizza. It's this one slice of pizza big enough to feed two people.
Wow. Yeah. Do they fold it still? Or?
No, that's up to you.
Oh, okay.
Just bring it out there. You want to fold
whatever way you get it in your pie hole, huh?
Yeah. But Andy did a great article.
I love that.
I'm going to say here, Pulitzer quality is what we're talking. We're talking a Pulitzer Award article.
Pulitzer out of Sims.
Yeah.
Who would have ever.
But it just, you know, because most people think of Sims and you think of nurseries full of azaleas and camellias and
good country people.
And not much else.
I think of boiled peanuts.
Yeah. But so he did a great service to the community of Sims. And, we talked about Brandon Van Hook. He was the last Chamber of Commerce over the last year. The first 6-7 years of the city's existence, they went from 0 members of a Chamber of Commerce because they didn't exist to 63. Last year, he took it from 63 to about 160.
Mm-hmm.
So he more than doubled the members in there. He did a great job, and it's, the city is really, you know, getting their feet under them now.
Starting to take off.
Yeah. But now we got to talk. Tony and David are on the phone. I have no idea who's Tony and Dave. Oh, was that that tire yellow ribbon around the old oak tree, folks?
How are y'all?
I'm good, man. How are you, Tony?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. I got my buddy David Calametti here. Hey, Stu, happy belated birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Stu.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Are y'all staying busy
this morning?
What's going on this morning, guys?
Well, we're down here at the temple on Claiborne and St. Francis, and we're taking care of Operation Feed the Cops this morning.
Awesome, awesome. Man, that's such a good event.
109's already been fed, or the food's already gone out, but we got another 511 to do.
Oh, wow, wow. Joe, meet your goals? Did you get all the donations you needed?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, absolutely. And much more, too. So whatever money we have left over is going to go to Family of the Fallen.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And whatever food we have left over is going to the homeless shelter down here.
Great. That's awesome, too. I know there's some down there.
One stone.
So when you guys get through at 9 o'clock, you know where to come.
Yeah, we need self-help.
You mean you'll have have some food left?
You're gonna feed
I've got some food to pack up. I've got y'all a police escort lined up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've heard that story before. So, well, guys, we wish y'all much success. Stay warm. I know it's cold inside that temple there when there's no sunshine.
Man, it is an absolutely beautiful day out here. I don't know if y'all been outside yet or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good day.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Joe Kane is good day smiling for it. Down.
That's it.
So, all right, guys, we're going to work.
All right, go to work, guys. Good job.
Have a great day.
We're proud of y'all.
Provolone.
Provolone.
And we got to take a break, guys.
All right, guys. 343-0106. Text or call us.
Thought I'd change up the music a little bit.
We'd love to hear from you this morning on this beautiful Joe Kane Day.
Sing along if you want.
Life I love is slinging in moon pies to my friends, and I can't wait to get on the float again.
Hi, this is Marty Duncan from Food Network Star and MartyKnowsParties.com, and you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
That lady's been to a Mardi Gras, too.
A two.
Yeah.
And a polo player.
Yep.
Wow.
World class.
You know, I've never been on a float.
Yeah. She had to retire when the
been under started. A couple, I suspect.
Well, I've fallen off some, but I've never been on one. But
and a wagon or two.
Off the wagon. I do love Mardi Gras. I really do. And you know, yeah, I catch stuff, but I give it to the kids standing around.
When are you going to be Chief Slack?
No, he's a thought. He's a member of the secret society that I'm a member of. We don't parade.
It's
probably a good parade,
and we don't
identify
societies.
Probably a good reason we don't parade.
Yeah,
but we've been.
Well, I have a hunch
years.
that if you were to be Chief Slack, they would have to get the outfit taken out a little.
Well, that had to need tailored
and
expand.
And that is not a shot at you. It just seems like in my memory, mm-hmm. everyone I've ever seen do it looked like they were about 5'11" and 120 pounds.
Yeah.
Much like Joe Kane.
I'd be Chief Squat.
Papa Squat. Chief Papa Squat.
Chief Squat instead of Chief Slack. Because I ain't nothing slack about it. Well, I am pretty slack, but.
Yeah.
I ain't slim. We'd have to buy more material, send out for some more material.
Yep.
So
you messaged me
yesterday that you might be trying a place. Is it possible that you tried it?
La Floridita.
Oh, I have not.
Okay.
I have not
weren't yet. Able to make it down.
I just haven't made it down there yet.
But we want to congratulate Steve Zucker and Bob Baumhauer on, mm-hmm. on finally getting this cigar bar, speakeasy, what have you,
Cuban. I have seen and heard thing. Nothing but raves about it.
I am not surprised.
Yeah. I've just heard nothing but rave reviews. Everything's positive. They say it's a gorgeous place. It's the atmosphere is truly Cubana, but I ain't never been to Cubana, so I don't
know. But we can now.
We can now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can we get the cigars yet?
No. Sometimes.
Oh, I mean, depends legally, on, can we get the cigars?
Depends yet? On who you know.
Yeah.
Just like anything.
What you do is, if you're going to be flying somewhere, make sure you make a run through Toronto, and then you can go in and buy them, slip them in mm-hmm. your luggage, and you can come on back down here to America.
And just go ahead and tell with the people upstairs how they can break the federal law.
See? I suspect some of them come in on the
it's
fantasy.
This is going to be the sip.
Man, I only know about it because of Reddit.
Oh, yeah, you read it. Okay.
Yeah, Reddit on Reddit.
Reddit on Reddit.
Yeah. You were going to ask me a question during the break. Do you recall that question? Nope. That thing that you said, hey, I'll save it for the when we go back on air. And now nothing, huh?
Oh, yeah. I know you and Heather like to go to a lot of Asian restaurants.
We do.
You do.
The Asian cuisine is incredibly diverse, and don't think of it as just egg rolls and chop suey and soy sauce.
Right.
You know, there's, I guess, four or five nations of the 20 or so in Southeast Asia that actually use soy sauce. The rest of them don't.
But last year when we went to Hollywood and Beverly Hills,
yeah.
You know, by the second day I was ready to stab you with chopsticks.
Yeah, but you didn't know so how many... to use them.
I do know how to use them. Yeah. I just wanted to use a fart. I feel like I was in America. But and you know what?
You know what I loved about all
the places we went to? They were just small little places. They weren't big. And they'd only fit about 12 or 16 people like you described earlier. But going back to what I wanted, noodles.
Mm-hmm.
Noodles. The bowl thing is just crazy everywhere.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that draws Heather to mm-hmm. it is she loves a good noodle bowl, which that basically every of the truly Asian mm-hmm. that we think of. Because when you also think of Asian food – that's India. India is on the continent of Asia. A lot mm-hmm. of Middle Eastern nations are on the continent of Asia.
Yeah.
But when people think of Asian food, they're going to think Chinese, Japanese, Vietnamese.
Exactly, I do.
And a lot of the dishes, variations of them, are found in all of the countries. Pho in Vietnam is a noodle bowl. In Thailand is what we had, the ramen in Japan, mm-hmm. which we had.
And that's one of my questions, too.
Yeah.
Ramen noodles.
You'd
ramen
go to
noodles.
Japan to eat ramen noodles?
Real ramen noodles.
Real ramen noodles. Yeah. And now I watch a lot of Create TV, Create Channel, which is mm-hmm. like Food Network without the it's better than Food Network, in my opinion. It's without the contest. They don't do contests.
It's still about food and cooking.
Right.
It's not about exploiting.
And more and more those shows are doing bowls.
Yeah.
And now the noodles, mm-hmm. here's the thing. The ramens that you could buy in a store that weigh nothing, and it's what I think a tractor trailer rig crashed on the interstate full of ramen noodles, and they lost like $32. You know, it was so cheap.
Right, and incidentally, the ramen noodles that you get in the package, mm-hmm. and parents love to get them for their kids because it's a quick, easy meal, and kids love them. It is considered by the World Health Organization the least healthy food product on planet Earth.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah.
The packets.
Are there any, for people who don't know how to make their own noodles, mm-hmm. but they need to buy some, like spaghetti and all that,
right?
Pasta. Are there any noodles like that to make Asian dishes
with? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Udon is the one from Japan. It's made out of buckwheat, so people that have gluten
udon.
Issues. Yes, udon. U-D-O-N, udon.
You read my mind.
Yeah. I believe it is made of buckwheat.
That's a short story.
Which is a grain that does not have any gluten.
Mm-hmm.
So udon is a great substitute for people who have a gluten-free diet. There's glass noodles. I don't know what they're made from, but they're called that because they're see-through. And that was what Andy and I had in the dish in Sims.
Okay.
There's all kinds of soba noodles, and they're all made from different grains other than wheat. And, of course, there are still wheat noodles that you can get. Just about every Asian market's going to have a mix. Go to the Asian section of a Rouse's, and you're going to find a selection of these. Get the cheap ramen noodles, throw that packet out, and just use the noodles.
What? Not to change the subject, but how in the heck did we, after all the years of existence that man has been on Earth, had the, how did they survive products with gluten in them? And kale. What the hell about kale? Why have we struggled now recently? I think kale started all
well,
this.
There, but there are a number of theories, and honestly, scientifically, there's nothing, with the exception of celiacs, that links gluten to poor health. Now, there are people who choose a gluten-free diet, and they say they feel better, they lose weight, and all of that is true. The reason for it is they've cut their carbs. Simple as that.
That's
you're eating less carbs when you go in. But Garrick Ogburn, who runs Nourish Cafe inside the YMCA, is very knowledgeable. He investigates all of this stuff. He does his own research. It's now looking like when they genetically modified wheat, one of the offshoots was a new protein that didn't exist on planet Earth before was created. And that protein is the one that's causing the issue, not gluten. Which means, once again, science was wrong. Yeah. We keep being told every time they climate control or any of this, they go, you got to trust science. Well, why? It's wrong 90% of the time. The 10% they get right is when they figure it out. And a friend of mine who's a scientist goes, we weren't wrong at all. We were right based on the information that we had. And I said, which is still, you were wrong.
At the end of the day.
You didn't have enough information. You shouldn't have been saying anything. But, yeah, it looks like there is a new protein possibly that is causing some issues.
Okay.
It's not gluten at all.
Well, going back.
With the exception of celiac disease, which is very much linked to gluten.
Okay. Going back, what are some of the name brands? And can you make your own noodles? I guess you can.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you got a pasta machine, you can make it. And you can go and get buckwheat or any of the other alternative grains that they're using, spelt perhaps, if you want to.
I've had buckwheat pancakes.
Yeah, buckwheat is wonderful. Yeah. But rice noodles. But yeah, you can go to the grocery store and go to the Asian section. You can find a myriad now. Most grocery stores have a very good international section where you can get some stuff other than Old El Paso for your Mexican food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and, you know, other than just the one brand that you used to always have, the Asian sections of it, a Rouse's or a Publix like that, they have a wonderful assortment of things. Now, I am striving to recreate some of the broths, which is really what.
And that's what I wanted to get to, yeah.
Like pho, for instance, it takes 3 days to make a pot of pho.
Really?
If you're doing following tradition, there are shortcuts you can get. So if you want to do it at home, you can go get a seasoning packet and stuff that will help you along.
Yeah.
They're going to be loaded with MSG, but they don't have any problem with MSG in Asia because it's natural.
Yeah.
You know, it's found in a seaweed or right there. The MSG we use in the U.S. is a refined product of processing.
But I watch Ming a lot. On
Ming Sai
channel, they do a lot of pho or broths,
right?
And I said that looks really
easy. The broth is what the secret. And you had the ramen, that we did in Beverly Hills. All of those broths were so deep and rich, and it was beyond just beef and salt or chicken and salt. Yeah,
because
the broths are so deep, and it's because they use things like a dashi, which is like a seaweed.
Yeah.
And they use bonita flakes, which is a fish that's dried and then turned into a powder.
Okay. All right. 343-0106 is our text line and call-in line from sponsored by Callahan's Irish Social Club.
Yay! That's
and their time of year is coming up next.
Yeah, it's like right now.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Lauren Murphy, singer-songwriter, based out of Fairhope, Alabama. My website is laurenmurphymusic.com. I play with a local band called The Psychedelics, and you can check me out and come hang with us soon. You are listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
As a matter of fact, Lauren is playing at Butch Cassidy's tomorrow night.
Excellent.
And then she's going to be at Le Bichon Wine Bar in Daphne Friday night.
Fantastic.
And Thursday night at Le Bichon is the Girl Scout Cookies and Wine Pairing.
Oh,
hosted by yours truly,
Mike Bailey of Sip.
I will be there pairing
Stu?
Wine with Girl Scout cookies.
Are you going to use cupcake wines?
No.
Yeah. Now the cupcake is—it's a brand name. It's not a vineyard, correct?
No.
And they purchase like we really like your white Zinfandels. So we're going to get theirs. And
it's from all over the
world. We like your Chardonnay, and we're
Yeah, and that's fine. I love that. I really like that, but. There are other labels out there. I had thought about doing my own label like that, too.
Yeah.
But hey, you mentioned something off the air about kale.
Right.
And I feel the same way you do until we went to Noble South.
Right. And Chris does a phenomenal kale salad there.
He does a great kale, everything. Because I had a meal one night, and it was black-eyed peas and wild rice on a bed of kale. With fried pig ears.
Oh, now that sounds good.
That was delicious. The flavor profile, the layers of different flavors there. And it was like Southern, too.
Yeah.
But we've eaten there before with Sarah Lubis, and it was delicious.
Yeah. I've been to Noble South a number of times. Heather and I went to brunch
there. He's
off the
charts. He's off the charts.
And he was the chef that helped really bring Wash House to where it is regarded as one of the better restaurants in Baldwin County. He's a phenomenally talented chef.
He's a freak. He's a freak with his cooking. And we love freaks here.
Okay. So you're discussing that you're wanting to get a little more into the broths and stuff. And like I said, use a spoon. It's incredibly healthy food.
Well, I like the bowls that you can tilt up.
Yeah.
After you get all the stock out.
Right.
And you know where I finally started learning that from? That dish that John Gibson did. Mm-hmm.
The Cioppino.
Yeah.
Which is an Italian dish.
Because all that broth was sitting at the bottom.
And that was your favorite part.
And we got the bread and just dipping it in there. And I was turning it up and drinking it out of the bowl. And that stuff was addictive.
Yeah. A really good broth, where they do everything right. And that's the thing about what's behind the popularity of these different Asian noodle bowls is the broth. And they're just more intensely flavored than what you're used to from just buying a thing of chicken broth from Swanson's off the shelf, which is, really high in salt, like that. But there's more to it than just the meat, the bone, and a few aromatic vegetables. There are different spices. And I was talking the dashi, which I believe is a dried seaweed. There's the bonito flakes, which bonito is a fish that they dry. Turn into a flake, and then, if they're making a gallon of broth, they might add a half teaspoon of these, and they really bring depth to it. You can add oyster sauce to it, fish sauce, all of these sauces that are just really strong straight. Well, you put a few drops here and a few drops there, and when you're done, the broth, and you've had it.
Yeah,
it's just incredible how much flavor you're getting.
I get sad when I run out.
Exactly, but it's all really healthy food.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing for anyone who doesn't want to give up flavor. And with the noodles, you still get that stick-to-the-bone thing that you would from potatoes, or an Italian pasta. Mm-hmm. So you get that little home feel.
Yeah.
The grandma's cooking thing to stick to your ribs. Now, an hour later, you're going to be hungry. But,
that way anyway.
Yeah. There's a reason for that. Because you don't have a bunch of food still sitting in your stomach turning into fat cells.
Yeah.
And you won't be starving an hour later, but that's the thing.
I don't know about that.
Well, you and I might be, but that's our job.
Yeah,
we do that for the people. That's the service we give back.
It's not gluttony with us. It's,
right, right. It's duty to our fellow man.
Yes,
it's for the kids.
We do it so you don't have to.
Right, but yeah, man, explore the Saigon Market on Cottage Hill Road is probably the best Asian market in the area for just Asian.
Yeah.
Food Pack has a wonderful assortment there on Old Hill Road. Yeah. You know they're great. There are a number of other Asian markets all over the area. And just pop in there. And it's an adventure for some of these on Azalea Road, man. It's like being in another country for a few minutes.
Yeah.
And which is fun. And if you find that kind of thing unsettling, you know, why are you in America then? Because if there's one country on this planet that doesn't have one culture, it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
This country is not supposed to be about, I eat this same food every day the rest of my life. This is the only country in the world, really, where you sit down and go, what are you in the mood for tonight, Mike? You want Italian? You want Japanese? You want Thai? Huh? You want some churrasco from Argentina? And you think about it. You love Italian food, right?
I do.
You know what you have for food every single meal in Italy? Italian food, every single meal.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in France, food's wonderful, right? But every single meal, you're eating French food.
Because it's in France.
Right. America, and clearly, you know, the Indian curries are huge in mm-hmm. England. That's their top ethnic cuisine, and there are other ones around. And but unless you're in a large city like Paris or London, Edinburgh, you know, it's like that, it's going to be harder to find this is Mobile, Alabama, and I took Andy McDonald to Sims, about 4,000 people. We had Southern food, you know, good old home cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We had Thai food. We had Vietnamese. We had Japanese. And we had Italian in Sims, within a mile of each other.
Gotta love America.
Right. And this is the only country that really has that big a variety in just about every town. Well, we were in Minot, North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
That's a city of 45,000-50,000 people. Thai restaurants everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, there's not very many Thai, Vietnamese, or Cambodian people living in Minot, North Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, it's in fact 40% of their population is Scandinavian.
Wow.
In Minot.
Eh?
But curry, the Thai curries are wonderful. That is an Asian food that has no soy sauce.
Wow.
So,
folks, get out there. You heard what Sims has got. Get out to Sims and try some of that delicious stuff that Andy and Stu tried. Stu, happy birthday, Ben.
Aww.
Enjoy that scotch. Get out there, support local, be local, buy local. Tip your servers earn your tips.
Oh, they're earning it this week. Don't worry.
Check out the Joe Kane Parade today.
Enjoy Joe Kane, and don't be stupid.
And remember, when the float comes by, don't say, throw me something, mister. Say, provolone!